Is this Elizabeth Devereaux, the writer?
I was a reporter for the Globe, if that's what you mean.
I might have a story for you, if you're interested.
And what would that be about?
Murder.
I adored Mr. Croft. We trusted each other.
His work had the potential to change how we thought about our place in the universe.
Aiden was different. He was exciting, a real alpha man, and that's my type, obviously.
I'd known him since we both were undergrads at Harvard. We didn't exactly run in the same sort of crowd back then.
He said he was worried Aiden's life was in danger. The threats had been made.
It was a mess. There were 8 stab wounds in the back, and the throat was cut. Oh, there was a lot of blood.
I want you to interview the suspects and tell me who's lying.
You were the last person to see him alive.
Other than the murderer, you mean?
Aiden collected Rothko's to hang on his bathroom wall. We didn't exactly run in the same circles.
You think I finally had enough and stabbed him to death? Cut his throat?
I don't want you to contact her again. She called me last night. She was hysterical.
Aiden could be a real bastard, but that doesn't mean I wanted him dead.
At the time, I didn't think much of it, but I noticed one of the steak knives was missing.
It was filled with books and paintings about the occult. Pentagrams and pyramids.
But there were accusations.
No matter what anyone says or thinks, I always respected Aiden Croft.
There was a bad energy. Aiden's death was not the first, nor was it the last.
You're talking about the affair.
You know about that?
There was someone spying on Croft.
I asked you to speak with the guests. It sounds like you're digging up more bodies.
This isn't about finding out who was in the library with the candlestick. There's no way anyone was in the room.
You see, the means and the motives weren't the problem with this case. That night, no one had the opportunity.
From the creator of the Oasis Transmissions comes a new original story, 7 Suspects, an audio fiction whodunit. Follow each episode to unravel who's lying, who's telling the truth, and who murdered Aiden Croft. 7 Suspects, premiering July 7th. Listen and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Science Log, Entry G2, Dr. Lauren Wood. The antifungal agent has proven ineffective, and the crimson frost continues its rapid spread. In only 18 hours, it has spread over both feet and partially up one leg. It's begun to cause discomfort when I walk, and it's nearly impossible not to reveal a limp to others. We're less than 3 kilometers from Ashborough, and the fungus is still present in the surrounding trees and brush. Came upon the carcass of a dead animal this morning. It was some kind of rodent. The cause of death wasn't apparent, but the presence of the red growth around its decaying form was unmistakable. The outlook for this mission is grim.
Mr. Park, today I paid a visit to Mr. Moreau. In fact, I've come directly from his church. Our conversation was such that I needed to message you right away. An unexpected opportunity has presented itself, and all thanks to these insufferable zealots. I will try to recount to you now as much of our conversation as I remember, but I ask you to keep this to yourself until we can put our plans in motion. I showed up uninvited at their church. I wanted to catch Moreau off guard, get a sense of the man. But when I arrived, he seemed to have been expecting me. I'll admit this threw me a little. But I didn't let it show. I began by telling him how much I admired how he had taken it upon himself to comfort the colonists during the crisis of the missing girl. He assured me it was his duty. He said I shouldn't sorrow for the girl that went missing. She was merely facing her proper judgment. I asked him if he thought we were in danger, if he thought the wall would protect us. His answer was that we have much to fear. That we must fear damnation or something like that. No, that wasn't it. It was, we should fear damnation of our souls more so than the curses of this world. Both of these options aren't appealing to me, and I told him as much. So he asked me what I was searching for, and I assured him it wasn't the salvation he was peddling. He didn't appear to be surprised or taken aback by this response, however. Instead, he only nodded, like he knew I could see through his charade. But it didn't bother him. Not at all. I pressed ahead. We might have parallel interests, I told him. There could be some benefit to both of us if Caldwell were removed as governor. Does he want to expand his church? Of course he does. Just as I want to be king in our new world. It doesn't matter to me what the religion of the land happens to be, as long as I can profit. And so I offered to help him seize power, for his church and people, of course, and enable Oasis and myself to get back to work expanding humankind across this galaxy, as his god and our board of directors rightfully intended. He listened closely, but didn't speak until I finished. It wasn't immediately clear he was interested, but what he said next was both unexpected and fascinating. Moreau told me about a type of plant called Baru. It's a bush that grows native here on Kailus. After their arrival on the first wave, his people discovered it. It had what they considered sacred properties. It was a narcotic. His people, all of them, used it, and he encouraged them. The Baru made them closer to God. These were his words. But what I think he was really saying is that this plant made his followers more controllable. Since Caldwell's lockdown, however, Moreau and his church no longer had access to the plant, which grew near the field's end by the forest. It's true that he requires Caldwell to rescind his lockdown order, but he believes that soon his faith will spread across the entire colony. Once this happens, the governor will not be a problem. However, he would like my help in persuading our investor friends to his side, and to convince them to continue support of the colony while he pursues his unique evangelism. For that, he told me, you will be blessed in more than mere spiritual rewards. I was happy to agree. It was more than I could have hoped for. Whether or not I assist Moreau in this cause is more or less irrelevant now. What's of most importance is the knowledge of this alien narcotic. This is exactly the kind of opportunity we've been looking for. Baru. Remember that name, Mr. Park, because it'll make us both rich.
I spoke with one of the non-believers today. The one who fashions himself a celebrity. He's very proud. I told him everything about the sacred gift. I know we should continue to keep it secret, as Reverend Moreau has instructed, but I see our power growing here in the colony now. We no longer have anything to fear. Soon, the blessings from the Baru will be known to all. It is such a gift. The more I partake, the more it opens my eyes to the truth. I now know who the man named Whitlock is. I remember him, sister. You would, too. I don't know how I could have forgotten. Do you remember the days before I found the Reverend? Do you remember how lost I was? How enslaved I was? Everything was about chasing feelings. Do you remember the parties? The drugs I craved? Oh, God. dear, dear sister. I'm so sorry. Those men, they were wolves. We were naive, it's true. We made our poor decisions, but those monsters fed off them. I was weak, and they saw my addictions and they used them against me. Placated me so they could have you. It was days later in a hospital bed when I found out what happened. What they did. How many years ago was that? It could be 10,000 and I still wouldn't be able to forgive myself. We thought we would never find them. But sister, we've been so blessed. What are the odds one of them would be here on Kylos with me? What are the chances of that? It's not luck. It's fate. It's the universe reaching down and blessing its children. Charles Whitlock thought he got away with his crimes against you, but he has been delivered into my hands. I know he doesn't recognize me, which gives me an advantage. Dearest sister, I believe in my church. I have come to find happiness and joy in this new life, but I now have a new purpose. I will make Mr. Whitlock pay for what he has done to you. Justice will be yours. Finally. The star's blessings have come.
Hey, little brother. We finally made it to Ashboro this morning. It's strange to see it, to actually be here, after hearing all the stories. When someone talks about the Lost Colony, they always say it in a hushed voice, like the name itself is a curse. There's so much mystery surrounding this place, it was hard to think of it as real. Now, camping here on the outskirts, having walked through its remains, it feels very real. But its reputation is well suited. It was as unnerving as I imagined. The colony had been built in a hollow beside a creek. What remains of the structures are still there, although they're half covered in overgrowth. It's like the forest is trying to slowly devour it. The structures are similar to ours, which is kind of creepy. There's no perimeter fortification, although it looks like construction had begun on a wall. Too little too late, I guess. There are no obvious signs of Annabelle, but near the creek, Max spotted several footprints that might be human. They're not boot prints, so if they belong to Annabelle, she would have to be barefoot. What's most upsetting? We found markings. It was writing. It wasn't English, so obviously from one of the previous colonists. Maybe. It was just one word. Katharos. K-A-T-H-A-R-O-S. I wonder if this writing may not be as old as we think. It's possible it's the ravings of the mad colonists that the second shuttlewave found here. But could Annabelle have written this? Maybe she went as crazy as the ones before. It's possible. Why else would she wander into the woods? Or maybe it was Gerard. He's been missing now for over a day. He had enough time to get ahead of our team and reach Ashboro before us. Maybe he wrote this on the wall. I mentioned all this to Lauren, but she didn't have much of a response. To be honest, she's been pretty quiet today. And she hasn't looked well. Then again, we're all a little anxious after Gerard's disappearance. Cash decided we should camp outside the colony ruins. No one argued with him. I'm glad we finally made it here, but I can't wait to leave.
Hola todos, USS Ticonderoga here. So, get this. The cultists? They're taking some kind of drug.
a native plant which grows nearby, they call it Beru. Marie Tanner, the one who was with Annabelle when she disappeared, she told me all of this when I finally cornered her. She's a bit of a drag. A little too self-righteous for my taste, kept calling me a dirt child or something like that. These goddamn religious nuts. We achieve the pinnacle of scientific exploration by traveling through space to another planet, harnessing all of mankind's knowledge and potential to do so, and yet we still have these mystics who want to talk about magic and invisible deities. Anyway, I asked Marie what it does, the Beru. What are its effects? Is it like pot? Or cocaine? Alcohol. Does it make sex better? You know, the usual questions when it comes to drugs. Marie will only tell me that those who take it have their eyes opened. Some think maybe it's like shrooms. I asked her if Annabelle took any of it, but Marie said she didn't. Like most of the non-believers, Annabelle didn't even know it existed. But her husband knew about it. Marie didn't know how Gerard found out. But the rumor in the church was that he'd stolen a quantity. He was taking it recreationally. He was abusing what was sacrosanct. I asked her if I could try it. For journalistic reasons. She wouldn't give me any, of course. The prude. Says I need to experience it in the light of the church. And only if my heart had pure motives. Again, I kinda take offense to that. So she's a cardiologist now? What does she know about my heart? I'm not sure where this leaves us. I don't like this cult, and I don't like how fast they've grown, and I really don't like the fact that every one of them is using some alien drug, especially a drug they won't share. It's enough to make me curious to at least see what the Star Children fuss is about, maybe drink just enough Kool-Aid to have a fun trip? If nothing else, it'll make for a great episode. So what do y'all think? Should Ty go to church? Maybe next episode? Well, you'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, you know what you should do. Like, subscribe, tweet, call a friend, and tell them to listen to this. I'll see you kids soon. Ty out.
Science Log, Entry C44, Dr. Lauren Wood. The Ashborough Colony, or what remains of it, is even more overrun by the Crimson Frost than the Nock. The roofs and walls have grown thick coatings, and even the interior surfaces show traces. It's impossible for the other members of the party not to notice it as well. They're starting to ask questions. They're looking to me for answers and reassurances. We've seen no more strange statues or signs of other intelligent life. Although, Foster did find some unusual writing in one of the structures. It was just one. Jesus! Gerard Gordon is dead. He attacked our camp last night. He came screaming out of the trees, ferocious like an animal. He was shooting wildly before Cash returned fire and put him down. Two shots to the chest, and he dropped. I examined the body and was surprised by the change. Gerard had torn off the top of his jumpsuit and undershirt. His torso was exposed. Even in the firelight, I could see blistering and fungal growths covered his upper abdomen. They were similar to the ones on my feet and legs. Even now, after he's dead, the frost continues to grow on and around the corpse, rooting his body to the earth. The change in him was undeniable, not only physically, but mentally as well. There is a fungal species on Earth that has the ability to alter a host's mental state. It is called Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. It propagates by manipulating the behavior of carpenter ants. An infected ant will act and appear normal for days, Sometimes, as long as a week. The colony suspects nothing, but all the while, the ant's brain is slowly being altered by the fungus. Eventually, the infected ant leaves the colony to forage for food. But instead of foraging, the ant seeks out a plant or tree branch above the colony. When it finds a suitable location, the fungus kills the ant and grows from the brain out to the back of its head. This growth eventually ruptures and releases spores that spread to the unwitting colony below. This fungus has been known to destroy entire ant colonies. I think about all of this as I look at Gordon's body now. We will have to bury him, and I'll have to tell the others of my mission. We need to know how many of us have been infected. The crimson frost has spread to both of my legs, but it no longer causes me any physical discomfort. I suspect it is affecting my nervous system already.
Log entry 4-4-TAC-607-ALPHA. This is Caldwell. I'm still in shock after what I've just witnessed. I'm trying to process it. I was up on the western lookout of the perimeter, inspecting the security forces before nightfall. I was lingering on the wall before returning to my tent, looking out at the edge of the forest, hoping maybe tonight we would see the others return. There was still some light over the surrounding field, but not much. And that's when I caught sight of something in the field. It startled me. At the edge of the wood, standing outside the trees, was a figure. I knew right away it wasn't one of our people. It was too far away and too dark to make out any features, but it was tall, over 2 meters. It had midnight black skin. From the head, I could make out 2 yellow reflections of its eyes where its face could be. It was motionless, like me, and returned my gaze. This was first contact. I was dumbfounded. We both stared at one another in silence for the longest few seconds of my life. I didn't think, but raised my arm in a kind of greeting. An open hand to show we were peaceful. It didn't respond, but disappeared back into the trees. My heart was racing, but I didn't immediately raise the alarm. I felt a mixture of fear and excitement. I kept watching for him to reappear, second-guessing my own sanity and eyesight. Would it come back? Would there be others? The figure didn't return. Soon it was too dark to see anything. I knew we'd need to double our watches just in case. Before alerting the security team, I took one last look up at the purple night sky, searching the stars. The supply ship is now over a week late. I don't think anyone is coming.
I'm not going to be able to do that. Amen.